Would you just extend your hand to bless this precious prophet of God? Lord, I thank you for Karen Johnson. I thank you how she has impacted our lives and the life of the city. We trust this woman of God. We trust her as you have set her apart for such a time as this. And she has a Kairos word. It comes out of the ancient Hebrew. It comes out of an understanding that some of us were not raised in. And we want to learn today. Karen, you're anointed. And God has said, I trust you with this word today. And we receive it in the name of Jesus. Can we get these lights down a little bit? I can hardly see. That one's up there, I mean. Yeah. You would like to have on the lights too? Lights on the room. Yeah, that would be good.
I've got handouts and they're going to have to be.
Anything else anybody needs to do? Light! You're the light. I don't need any of it. Yeah, but anyway. We're going to turn it on here. There we go. You'll actually be able to see the board better now. So that's good.
Yeah, and listen, sometimes people have been in my meetings and they'll say, well, that was Greek to me, but it's Hebrew. And the thing is, that may look scary, but listen, I promise you, by the time we leave, you will actually know how to do this. And I've brought charts, and Gabe, thank you. Are you leaving? Gabe's part of our ministry team, and Olive Tree, and Carrie. But if somebody could help me, let me explain things. I had been in a conference with Dr. Miles, and this was something I created. And I thought, let me bring it to all of you today so you can understand me. And I've brought sheets that are keys that even if... Do you need me?
See if this is a better mic for you.
Hello? Is that better? Okay. So I want all of you... don't throw these if you... I tell my church, if you think you might throw them away, just give them back. Because, I mean, they're valuable. And the Hebrew chart was given to me 20-something years ago. I don't remember who gave me that sheet, but I had the permission to keep making copies. So that was just an old sheet. It looks like it might even be worn out. But this will change your life. And I want you all to hear God's word from his Hebraic root system, the way it was spoken. And I'm asking the Lord today, Father, may a great shift come as this word goes forward. And I pray that you're hungry when you see me do certain things, because God wants you to learn how to do this. It's not just for certain people. He's not a respecter of persons. And I'm full because I've been in prayer. I've been preparing since Jerry asked me. And I just ask God today, please edit so that I'm not trying to cram a million things into you today to overload you, but a lot will be coming forth. So if you have piece of paper and pencil, it will help you to take notes. The one thing about Hebrew is it's a language that needs to be repeated over and over and over. And many times you can hear things and say, oh, I know that, but it's alive. So you could read the same scriptures every day and they're living. The scriptures are not written by man. They're written by God, by the Holy Spirit. So they're living words. And those words are not written by man and they're able to cause you to be transformed. And you actually can be transformed today before we leave. And I believe this every time. I want you all to receive activation, impartation. And we prayed, Lord, send in the people that you're a God's invited guest. And there were people that got sick right at the last moment, but it is taped. When Jerry asked me, this was before Jerry asked me, it was October 7th, and I was getting ready to be the speaker or leader on the Suzanne Hinn National Prayer Call, which I'm part of, and it's, if anybody wants to be part of that, it's, we pray every single day, every day. This has been going on for almost 8 years, every single day. And it's covered by Mahash and Bonnie Shafta, but I'm one of the prayer leaders. And I was going to release a national word on October 7th. Do you all know what October 7th is? And it was a word about David and Absalom and Ahithophel, and it was about war. And I thought, wow, I feel war in my spirit. And then before I went on to the call, I had a text from a leader that said, Israel is at war. And I had been up, you can feel it in your spirit. So I think Monday came and I'm at my desk, I'm studying the word in my office, and Jerry said, God spoke to me, Karen, would you speak at the WCA next month? And I thought, I believe Jerry when he said God spoke to him. I said yes. And then I thought, ooh, I wonder if I should have said yes. But I knew it was God. And I know that, let me tell you, I'm building a foundation here. Because I know when people start to, if you hear things that are from another, it's another mindset. The Hebrew is conceptual. It is a prophetic language. It paints pictures to your mind. But most of us, I think, were born in America. We're Western thinkers, and Western thinking is abstract. So we can be learning things, but we're not getting the whole picture because you have to get back to the Hebraic roots. So we're not trying to make anybody Jewish or anything like that. My job has been to teach people the word from the Hebraic perspective. So what I'm going to say today, if you were with a bunch of men or women, let's just say rabbis, the way I'm teaching would just be so normal because they will dig and dig and dig. And I want you to look at your sheet that looks like a scroll. I wrote this, and Mia, one of my leaders at Olive Tree, helped me put it together. But I want you to know, as I get started, that there are four levels of Hebraic interpretation. The word in Hebrew for an orchard or a park or a garden is pardes. You literally see this in Revelation 2:7. Jesus said it, he that has an ear, are you looking at your sheet? Let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So pardes is actually the paradise. I wish I hadn't have left that out. All right, we can walk exactly like Adam did before the fall, because now we can, by the Spirit, walk with the Lord like Adam. He walked in it said cool of the day. That meant he's walking in the Ruach. So this word, pardes, I'm going to break it down, the acronym. Look at your sheet. Peshat means the literal interpretation, like just plain literal interpretation of the word. And there's a lot more to this. I'm going to have to go through things fast that literally we could be here for about 5 hours on this sheet. But I'm going to pour things out quickly. And I hope that you are not overloaded, because I'm not up here to try to show off any Hebrew knowledge. I'm seriously believing God is going to change your life and your ministries today. I really believe this. All right, so the second is remez, and that's how the Apostle Paul taught. That's how Jesus taught. There was no New Testament when they were on the earth, and they're hinting back to the Torah, the prophets, and the writings, which the acronym would be the Tanakh. So if you look at your New Testament, you're going to see there are hundreds of scriptures that are everything Paul taught. He's like a commentator on the Torah and the prophets, amen, and the writings. So the second level is remez. The third is drash. That's where you learn how to study the word from Genesis to Revelation to get the big picture. You have to see the whole picture. Like if I held up a tunic today and we just got Roman Greco understanding, then I would just explain the sleeve and you wouldn't know that there was a whole part that's missing. So in Hebraic thought, that thread runs through the whole tunic. So you have to have the big picture. And when you learn how to study the word Hebraically, you learn how to get in the roots, and you don't stop till the picture forms. Are you all with me? The last level is called Sod, and that's the hidden mysteries of God, the concealed information that you find in the alphabet. And listen, Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 23 to the prophets. God said, if you had stood in my counsel, if you had stood in the sod, if you had gotten in that deep level, you would have known what, I'm paraphrasing, you would have known what to teach the people. It would have kept us from missing the mark. But the prophet, he's saying, there's a level where you come before me, and it's called the sod. So that's Pardes right here. Now let me show you something amazing. Job 19:26, this is what Job said. In my flesh I see God. So it's first the natural, then the spiritual. Everything that you actually would ever need to know about God, do you know you can see within your own body? So your Hebrew is written inside of your body. Letters are seen. I've been with scholars and doctors doing meetings over the years, and they showed the slides from the doctor, and you could see the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet on your heart. And so, as I said, I'm pouring out a lot fast, but please catch it. I prayed, Lord, this is my prayer, let them catch what I'm saying. You don't have to remember everything, but I will tell you, your spirit's being fed. And you, I could leave here right now and not remember anything I said, except good morning, Jerry, I love you and I bless you. But the word is going to work. It's active, it is energy, and it's going to change your life today. So hear this. If Job says, in my flesh, remember, the kingdom of heaven is without observation. It's within us. So Job is saying, in my flesh, I get to see God. I can see the kingdom from what is within me. Now look at this. DNA, our DNA, how do you say it? Deoxyribonucleic. Thank you, Fred. Fred's very smart, and I love him, and he's quiet, but he's smart. DNA is a language made up of four letters, and this is your own DNA is a picture of the garden. And I want to break down our DNA. Look at this, ATCG in your DNA, adenine in the roots is traced back to the word Eden, the Garden of Eden. The second, thymine, is where you get the word thummim. Do you remember the Urim and the Thummim, where they were getting revelation knowledge, the priest? That's in your DNA. The third level is cytosine. This is where has to do with our cells, and there's a whole teaching on that, and I can't stop. The last is guanine, and in the roots, gon, the garden. So your DNA is a picture of the Garden of Eden. And the Pardes, the four levels of interpretation of the word, are actually going to activate you to get into that realm of walking in the garden in earth now. And I feel the anointing. I really do. I feel the anointing. You will get, there's a way to learn how to study this word that you literally, the anointing is so strong. Ooh, God, all of a sudden, they know I don't do this. I don't give courtesy drops and I don't do courtesy shakes, but I feel the anointing. But yeah, amen. But listen, the Lord is saying today, when you learn how to study, you will feel like you dove into the ocean of God. And you won't care who won American Idol. You really won't, I promise. You will be so consumed that you are a creature that walks in the Spirit of God. Amen. So does that help at all? Because as I teach today, I want you to know that what I'm going to be bringing, I'm not even into my word. This is a foundation. What I'm bringing is based on the four levels of interpretation. So you and I can be fed down to the root system of ourselves. So everything, God's a gardener. He's an agriculturist. He's a carpenter. He is an architect. And today he's saying, I'm interested in your soil. Because when the word goes forth, it is seed. And if our soil is not good, if we have the cares of life, there are three soils that can't reproduce, and one that's good that can reproduce up to 100-fold. And I'm going to pray right now that all of you all are good soil and that you reproduce 100-fold in this life. Amen. So at the end of this sheet, I did put this, Genesis 28:12, and I was teaching it someplace else, and they understood this. This is about Jacob. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder. Okay, we know the ladder is Jesus, but a ladder is a picture of your DNA. So he said it was set up on the earth, the top of it reached to heaven, and then behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. I'm asking God today to touch your DNA. And I'm asking for a cleansing of anything that could have come from the generations that has altered your DNA. And I believe that we can decree a thing and it be established. I'm not being arrogant. I really believe what Job said. We can decree, and I just have that kind of faith. I believe it. And I believe today, I'm asking God to set every one of you all in position. And any place you've gotten out of season, that today you are put in your cycle, that you understand seasons, amen, and that you are positioned. So look at your sheet, the Hebrew sheet. I've got this memorized. Our ministry, there's a lot here today. They know this. Our children at our ministry know this. You all can take this, and you can, leaders, take it back to your ministries. It's not just for us. And I want you to look on the right-hand side, all the way on the right, from the top to the bottom. Look where it says modern Hebrew. Do you see that on your sheets? Jerry, you have to get your alphabet sheet. You know, in school, you get in trouble. Jerry. So look, you have Aleph, Bet, Gimel. Do you see the Hebrew alphabet, the modern? All right, then look all the way over to the left. You're going to see ancient Hebrew. So you have ancient Hebrew on one side, and then you have modern Hebrew on the right. And you're going to see that the Hebrew letters have pictures, and they have numeric value, and that's very important. So let me just show you something quickly. I want you to see this. I want to say this scripture right now, that the children of Issachar were men of understanding, and they knew what Israel ought to do. Who were the children of Issachar? Issachar is really, that's Jacob's son, but it's the grandson, great-grandson of Abraham. But Issachar, these men were extremely brilliant. They were men of understanding. In Hebrew, which means they were men of, they had deep perception and discernment. They were very political, and they understood astronomy. So they knew the seasons. They knew the times. They knew seasons. We've got to know seasons, and we've got to understand the feast. And they are not Jewish feasts. They are the feast and the set times of the Messiah. So they were men of understanding. And this is, I'm just using this as an example. Right now, go to your sheet on the right. Go to the second letter. There's the Beth. Do you see it on your sheets? The second letter on the right. Jerry, do you see it?
I do.
I'm watching him. Now look, number 10. Look at the 10th letter. It's the Yod. Do you see the 10th letter? And it's a hand. The second letter is a house. This is the 14th letter. But in Hebrew, you count 1 to 10, then the letters go from 20 up to 400 in value. That's what makes it supernatural. Are you all following me?
Yeah.
So listen, what is a man of understanding? I want you to see this. He's a man, he's a house of seeds with the hand of God upon him. And that's a man of understanding. You are filled with seed, which is the word. We don't have to make up anything or originate anything. You know what we have to do? We need to learn this word and repeat it. Now, if you reverse the letters, because in Hebrew you can reverse letters, and this is the nun in the beginning. This is the nun, seed, in the beginning of a letter. Here's the Beth again. When I reverse the word for understanding, That word now becomes Nabi, the prophet. And what is a prophet? You are a house of seeds. And your word has to be, we need to be filled with seeds so that whatever you say brings life. Amen. God wants us in life. You know, Jerry was talking about the body of Christ and, you know, there's slander and gossip and these things. Read Romans 1 because it says these people, the people that do these things are worthy of death. Go read Romans 1. I thought, I don't want death coming out of my mouth. I speak life over every one of you all today. God, I pray that you will bring things to pass that let us call out of the spirit realm things that you haven't seen yet. Amen. So with this one sheet, this will change your life. And learn the alphabet, learn the numerical value. And God will begin to reveal mysteries to you. You don't even have to go to somebody else's book. You, and I'm talking about even commentaries, the Spirit of God will take you on an adventure into the Garden of Eden. He's a creator, and creators bring something out of what you can't see. And we've got to stop all that other low-level gossip stuff. I don't deal with it. I don't hang around people like that because I don't want to disgrace the image of God. And he's saying, don't disgrace my image. In my image, there's no darkness. There's no slander. There's no backbiting. There's no jealousy. Listen, will you? I feel impartation in here. Do you all? Are you feeling? I feel the power of God. And I feel the favor of God. And Carl and Leanne, I'm so glad you were here because I had a vision of you here. And I was laying hands on you. And then I thought you were at the beach. And then you walked in the door because God is going to really activate you two in a whole new realm. Amen. And you'll be so excited. So we're going to get into the word. I had to prepare you for where we're going. I want you to know in Ecclesiastes 1:9, I'm bringing a prophetic word, and we have to know something that Ecclesiastes 1:9, it says that the thing that has been is the thing that is that which shall be. What already has happened is going to be again. And that which is done is that which shall be done. If it's been done before, it's going to be done again. And there's no new thing under the sun. So God is cyclical, and our Western thinking is linear, and it has really affected people. And today, I believe Jerry, Jerry said he felt like I was supposed to come, and I can see now, like, yeah, my heart is for all of you all to be built up. My heart is for all of you all to be so authentically you. When you are yourself, you're dangerous. But we copy other people, so that's not dangerous. But when you are operating in your anointing, you're a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And I'm asking today that authenticity and your genuine calling will come forth. And I'm asking, as we're in this new year, that this is going to be the year you are activated and you are energized to face God and fulfill your calling. God's the one that promotes, not people. I've never asked anybody if I could minister anywhere. I don't. I stay quiet and then I get calls. I want you all to stay in the Eden zone. Don't you want your DNA activated to match the kingdom? And listen, things are being put in our food, and we all know this, that it's meant to affect your DNA. And I'm praying today for a shield, a godly shield, that no plague can come nigh our dwelling. All right, so listen, God is cyclical. To know the future, you have to know the past. And that's very Hebraic. So we try to come up with new things and new words, and God's saying, would you go back? Because what was is going to be. And in 1 Corinthians 15... 46, it says, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, then afterwards the spiritual. What you see with your natural eyes is going to teach you the kingdom. Amen. If all you ever saw for the rest of your life was a tree, you would know, you would understand the kingdom. So let me tell you this, kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God are Hebraic. This is, an idiom. The kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God are actually the name of God. God is the kingdom of God. God is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So I'm talking to our kingdom within today. I'm talking to your spirit man today. And we're going to see a word that was given to me. And remember those 3D pictures? They just have a flat surface and a picture. But if you knew how to look into it, you could see below the picture. That's what the four levels will do. Help you get into the roots below the peshat to get to the sod to hear what God is saying. Amen? So remember that I talked to you about the cycles. So we need to understand timing. And if you know they were men of Issachar, they knew what Israel ought to do. They could see it in the spirit. They could perceive and they could discern. And I thought, you know, Lord, they were astronomers. They were political people. They were very brilliant. And they actually raised up 200 leaders. Which is you say only 200? No, 200 leaders. Raising up 200 leaders is monumental. I mean, solid, solid leaders. And there's a lot more to say about Issachar, but not today. But anyway, remember, let me tell you something. We need to perceive. And when Paul was on his voyage, his fourth one, and he's got to go to Caesar, the people wouldn't listen to, the captain wouldn't listen to him. And he said, I perceive, and God had already appeared to him, I perceive that this voyage is going to be with great harm. And when the conditions were right, they moved forward and they went into a hurricane. So I want to say this today. God's saying, listen, when you know of a man or a woman who really perceives what the Spirit is saying and gives warning, take heed. I have warned people before, if you do what you're getting ready to do, you're going to lose 10 years of your life. And they've ignored me, and they're not here today, but if they were, they would have said, I lost 10 years. I wouldn't listen to the word of warning, and I walked right into a hurricane that cost 10 years. So, Lord, I'm asking you today to redeem time. May we get back lost time, years that the locust, cankerworm, pomperworm, and caterpillar have eaten. Years are how many days? 365 days in 1 year. If you lost 3 years, you're losing over 1,000 days in your walk with God. So, Father, we thank you today and we bless you for your word. And I want you to go to 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. And this is the word that the Spirit of the Lord gave me. As everything was happening in Israel, and I know from Hebraic understanding that what was is what shall be. And we are given examples of what not to do and what to do. So the scriptures are given for our comfort. And if we need to know how to go forward, we've got to go back. We have to take the time to, if you're a leader, and this is a leadership meeting, you've got to go back. But the people of God and leaders need to know the Hebrew. So I told you by the time you leave, you would understand that. So by looking at that sheet, do you understand the Beth and the noon? It's a house of seeds. And the B and the N actually in Hebrew are the word son. So God, you are making sons today. You are filling our house with seed. Seed needs to come out of your mouth, and every word out of your mouth needs to be alive. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. I want to call this meeting today sound versus sound. Do you know the word Hebrew in one of the definitions is sound? Hebrew is a different sound. It is an anointed sound. God even told at Jubilee they were to blow the trumpets and make a sound that went across the land. And in one place in Leviticus, that word sound means the same word as Hebrew, because Hebrew is a language that causes you to cross over. It causes you to transition. So today, I want to transition today. I want to transition out of the natural carnal thinking, and I want to be filled with the Spirit. And do you all want to transition? I think I'm perceiving in my spirit that some of you have, some things have maybe gotten stale, or you're tired of certain things. And the Hebrew language is not static. It is alive. We need to come alive today, and I speak life over all of you. So let's look at this story, and I'll break down what I can. I'm going to give you keys. It said, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So as you're looking at the word, it said it came to pass after this. After what? After Jehoshaphat, who was the fourth king of Judah, he was called a good king. He didn't do everything right, but he was called good. His father was Asa, and he was considered good, but he didn't do everything right. And this man, Jehoshaphat, after he did what? If you go back and study, after he brought great reform to the land, he's a reformer. And after he set up priests and Levites, and you can go back and read it in Second Chronicles, and it said, actually, they formed a circuit. And that right there all by itself should tell you something. They're operating in a circle, in a cycle. They're in cycles. See, we're not going to, at Feast of Tabernacles, nobody's bringing a Passover lamb. Seriously, we need to understand the set times. The feasts are a picture of the first and second coming of the Messiah. So they're not Jewish feasts. They are the feasts. They are set times where God moves on certain days to do certain things as a whole for the body. But anyway, after this, what else? How come Moab and Ammon, do you all remember who they are? The incestuous sons of Lot. And so as they've come down through the generations, now they're going to come against the king, a king of Judah. And they had revenge in their heart. They had taken offense. And as you study the word, you find out why. There's another king of Moab named Mesha, and he was demanding tribute money. So there's a revenge within them. There is an offense. And the Lord's saying today, let's not leave here today with any offense. That is the bait of Satan. Let's be free. We can say, be free. Be free. Be activated today. Be activated that you don't ever have another jealous bone in your body. You're not envious of anybody else because you're walking in the Spirit in the cool of the day, and you are walking with the Creator, and He's saying, you can ask me anything you want, and I will teach you to do what you don't know how to do. He's wanting a relationship where you ask Him and He answers you back. He is our Father. And I feel, Lord, may the Father anointing cover this room. May Abba, the strength of the house. If today you could look at your sheets, and if you know the word Ab, then you look, the first letter is the Aleph, and you see the definition, strong leader, power. And look at the next, the Beth, the family, the house. So who's the father? He's the strong leader of the house. So you can do this starting today. See how simple it is? It's not confusing. I hope you're not confused. So anyway, in verse 2, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat. They told him, saying, there comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazanzah Tamar, which is En Gedi. So if you ever get a map, you're going to see they're around the Dead Sea, Ammon and Moab, and they're going to try to break through. And it said someone came and told them, there's a multitude against you. All right, look up on the board today. This is the word multitude. Say hama. If you got your concordance out, you'll see in the roots the word for multitude. And multitude means a noise, a sound, a rage, a war, like destruction is against you. And I want you to know it's in the multitude. In other words, not there is a multitude against you, Jehoshaphat, there is a sound against you. See, there are demonic harmonics, and then we have got the godly harmonics. God's holding this earth together by sound waves. And he's saying today, when you speak my word, even the Hebraic truth, Hebrew means a sound. And it is a sound that overpowers the demonic harmonics, or Jericho would have never fallen. They didn't use any tools. They were obedient to circle. They went through the cycle. They were quiet. Then they gave the shout. And the demonic walls, the harmonics that were keeping that city together, fell. And the Lord's saying today, this is what is happening right now in the Middle East. There is a sound that is coming against Israel. And I want to bring this into us. There's a sound. You've got to understand what's happening in the spirit realm. I work with people behind the scenes, and it does cost me financially. And I do it for myself and my church. And they are very skilled, and we meet together, and God shows me everything that's coming against my church or me or and my family. And we go to work with the authority of God to get into the courts of heaven to cancel assignments. And do you know, I have thwarted in God, the Lord, he has shown me how to thwart every assignment and activate a court of cancellation to stop assignments before they hit us. Woo! God, I am on fire. Like wait, can I run around this building? Yeah, I'm not holding back because I feel the power of God, because he's saying, I am going to anoint my leaders today. And you're going to rise up and you're going to take authority over the sound that is bringing destruction. And God, I had this in a vision. I said, Lord, if there were a man that could receive this word today and you made a way for him to be in front of Benjamin Netanyahu. Listen, they need the Messiah. And they need strategy, and the word gives the strategy, and I will give it today. So look at this. There's noise coming against you. Now I want you to see in Hebrew, if you look at your sheets, this is the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the He, which means a window. So that what do? You look through a window, you can see. This is the 13th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the Mem, and it represents water, but water in Hebrew also represents chaos. So if this man, Jehoshaphat, the king, is able to have somebody come to him and he's going to say, there's a sound against you, then what's God going to do? He's going to allow us, we're going to have our eyes open to see the chaos. Do you hear me? We've got to see the chaos. We've got authority to do something about it. Does it happen instantly? Sometimes it does. But we need to understand steps and keys so that God can lead us forward. Moses led people in a detour on purpose because God said, the enemy's going to think this. I don't mind leading my people in a detour. I don't care if we have to go into a blind alley. If God's leading me there, there's a reason. Amen. So that we don't get killed. Amen. So Father, we thank you today. And I ask you to anoint me to speak this word. So a noise is coming against him. A sound is coming against Jehoshaphat. That sound is also the word confusion. And let me just take us back to the beginning. Because in Genesis chapter 1:1, it said, God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, meaning it became something else. It became tohu vabohu in Hebrew. It became a place of confusion, emptiness, disorder, and ruin. So what something got activated in verse 2, and entropy actually began. Entropy really is, it's the second law of thermodynamics, and it means that things go backwards into decay or ruin or rust. Like if you painted the Golden Gate Bridge, and you started at the beginning, by the time, you know how long that bridge, it's not that long, but by the time you get to the end of it, it would take about 4 years, and you'd have to go back to the beginning, because now you've got to repaint, because the beginning has turned to rust. We have to deal with entropy every day. You say, we do? Yeah, just don't take a bath for a couple of days. Let's see if entropy is set in. I mean, we honestly have to get up every day and say to the old man, I put you off. And the word is in verb tenses that mean you have to put the old man off every day. Then when God sees that you are going to put the old man off every day, he's going to anoint you with the new man, which is the man of the spirit. So you start operating in the spirit of your mind and not in the vanity of your mind. And I don't want to hear things from, what we call the Christian world that are coming out of the vanity of our mind or the first Adam mentality. Because the second Adam is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. And I'm like, God, what is, you know, God, I have not an attitude, but I'm like, if we're not walking in the spirit, we're in carnal mindset, and the carnal mindset opposes the spirit by the day unless we let God anoint us with this cloak to anoint us to do what we can't do in the flesh. And God said today, you can do the impossible if you allow the anointing to come upon you, Isaiah 61. So hear the word of the Lord. In verse 2, the earth became without form and void. It became confusion. That's the spirit. First God, then the spirit moved. Number 3, then it said, and God said. And that's Jesus, because he was the voice on the earth. And he said, let light be. When he said, light be, darkness is dispelled. And every one of you all, I teach my ministry this, every one of you all every day have the authority to say, light be. Because darkness can never overcome light. And when you speak those harmonics and say, let light be, God will reveal darkness that's around you, the spirit of darkness. If we're in entropy, we're walking in the kingdom of misery, the kingdom of confusion, the kingdom of destruction, the kingdom of darkness. And God's saying today, to his body, come to me today. I am the life, I'm the light. And I want to anoint you today with light. Amen. So let's keep going here, because light shines in darkness, and the darkness can't overtake it. So you with me? All right. So here we're going to go on this journey, and I'm going to start to give you keys. And I want you to know something about the word keys in Hebrew. The word key is mafteach, and in the roots, you're going to find out that it's the word patach. And it means to loosen soil, to loosen self, to start plowing and unstop you. So we need keys to the kingdom. The keys of God unlock us. Hebrew unlocks the scriptures. So another word for key in Hebrew is door. And what did God say to Peter? Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? And he had to speak it. And he said, some say Jeremiah, Elijah, and he said, whom do you say that I am? He said, you are the Son of the living God. So he said, all right, because you know that, you got that from revelation knowledge, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom, and you're going to bind and loose. which are legal designations that mean you have the authority to forbid things from happening or permit things from happening. And we're going to say it another way. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to give you the door to the kingdom. I'm going to give you the door. You need a door to the kingdom, and Jesus is the door. So the Lord's saying today, I'm going to give you keys that are going to unlock you. This is a word for the church and for Israel. So we're going to see the life of Jehoshaphat. The first key is in verse 3. Jehoshaphat feared. He was afraid because there's three armies coming against him. And it even talked about Syria, and that is happening right now in Israel. Syria has gotten involved. We know they've come up from the south, and even Hezbollah, you know, Jerusalem is being surrounded. And I'm like, okay, God, God help us as the body of Christ to fight this war in the spirit realm. Amen? So number 3, the first key, it says what? He feared God and set himself to seek the Lord. That's the first key. So he had to learn how to position himself. Amen? Learn to position himself. And so we know there's always going to be obstacles that rise up, and they can come in the form of delays. They can manifest as discouraging circumstances, illness, financial shortages, work difficulties, marriage trials. Like the Apostle Paul said, he was pressed on every side. Pressed on every side. You know, one moment everything can be perfect, and then 5 minutes later, something can happen that leaves you reeling. So sometimes we've got to face overwhelming odds, and we know that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, meaning it is a kingdom that's pressed on. And the violent, that means the energetic, sees it. So we can't be lazy. And I'm praying today for great energy, the energy of God, the anointing to really touch us today. All right? So in the second key is still in the verse 3. And it said what? He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast. And I want to say something to you about the fasting, because I got a word out of Isaiah 58. And I'm going to just go there for you and read it to you out of probably the Amplified. To fast in Hebrew, one of the definitions with the word pictures as well, it means you have covered your mouth. It's not just that you don't eat food. When you're fasting, you've got to go find out what is a fast that God approves of. And in verse 8 and 9, it says, if we will deal out our bread to the hungry and bring the poor into your house. Verse 8, then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your reward. Then shall you call, and the Lord shall answer you, and he shall say, here I am. If you take away from you the midst of you the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. And that's what I want to go to the Amplified, verse 9. When you're fasting, this is what it said. We've got to take away from us the yoke of oppression, the finger pointed in scorn toward the oppressed or the godly, and every form of false, harsh, unjust, and wicked speaking. The Lord said, you cannot fast and then be in a critical, scorning, finger-pointing mode. Then we think fasting is just no food. God said, I want you to cover your mouth. Fasting can be, you are fasting words. Amen? Are you all still with me today? So God is saying, look at this man here in 2 Chronicles. These are our keys. You say, well, that's not like that. That's a prophetic word for Israel. Yes. And it's a word for us. And as Israel goes, so goes America. And it's really true. And we need to be praying for them, that really strong men and women, but I'm thinking of the men today, strong men. God send forth ambassadors that have the word of the Lord, that understand this sound that is coming against the nation, and anoint them to speak the sound that defies that and causes us to triumph. So you can say, well, things are impossible. Don't say that. Don't ever say it's impossible. God, that's not in the image of God. Impossibility is not in the image of God. All right, the third key, and if you're taking notes, it's going to be 2 Chronicles 20, verse 5 through 12, and I will paraphrase. Jehoshaphat went before the Lord, and he stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, and I'm going to tell you what he said. He went before the Lord, and he started to ask questions. He said, are you not, that's verse 6, did you not, verse 7, will you not, that's verse 12. Jehoshaphat is praying exactly as Solomon prayed in the past, and he's asking right questions. And right question asking takes skill. Do you know there's over 3,300 questions in the Bible? And the enemy was able to actually a question was asked to Eve that has affected all of us today. One question. So the people that ask the right questions control the conversation. And we need to be people that are so anointed. You are controlling the conversation that the government's not telling us. We're the ones with life. We've got the Word of God. I love the Word of God. It's quick and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So look at what this man did. He feared. Jehoshaphat feared. He fasted. And then what? He started asking the right questions. And I want you to get this right now. Great, great grandfather is Solomon. And he is going backwards to bring things forward. He's asking the exact same questions that Solomon had answered. And that's why I'm trying to say today, we've got to go backwards to go forward. But I love Jehoshaphat in the fact that in verse, we're going to keep going. I am going to tell you something I read somewhere about questions. Never ask a question unless the answer makes a difference. I think that's powerful. Don't ever ask a question unless the answer that you are going to get is going to make a difference. So you can't get the right answer without the right question. And really, asking questions is a real art, because you start to pull things out of people. I am going to ask the Lord for something right now, that every person in this place or that hears this tape, you are going to be a person that you are skilled in right questions and wisdom. And the Lord is saying, ask for wisdom. I talked about entropy. I'm asking today for the gifts of the Spirit of discernment, the gift of wisdom, the gift of faith, the gift of faith and the gifts of healing. But in the Bible, it says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. And that word turning there is trope, where you get entropy. In the gifts, there's no entropy. In the gifts, there's no going backwards. There's no rust. There's no decay. There's no confusion. And God gives us the gifts for an advantage. And he's saying, covet the best, covet to prophesy. All right, how are you going to prophesy? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. God's saying today, Moses say? I wish, would to God that all of his people were prophets. Would to God that all of the people of God are houses of seeds. And that you're speaking, the word out of your mouth is a seed that brings life. And I'm speaking life again right now. So are you with me? The fourth key is verse 12, and it is face God. And Jehoshaphat admitted he did not know what to do. I love that about him. He's like, he's the king, but he's saying, Lord, you know, he had to go through the steps. He had to set his face to seek God. He had to fast. And we know that all of Judah began to fast as well. And then he admitted in verse 12, God, what is he saying? I don't know what to do. You know how much humility it takes for a leader to say, I don't know what to do? Because you're afraid people will think, well, we're not going to follow you. No, we need humility to say, I've got keys, and I'm going to work these keys, and I'm going to believe my God, because greater is the sound of the Lord than the sound of the enemy. Amen. His sound is greater, and his sound causes transition, and his sound causes you to cross over. And today, God, I'm asking you for every person in this room that came out, that they cross over. You Ebar, which is what Abraham was, an Ebari. He's the first Hebrew. He's crossing over into the spirit realm. And I'm asking you, Lord, today, to where circumstances have surrounded your people, circumstances are not your guide. Circumstances aren't your guide. The word of the Lord is. And there was a man named Shema who was on David's A-team. He had an A-team of three men. And the people were afraid. The Philistines were encircling him as a troop. And the man named Shema stood in the middle of a lentil patch. Lentils are round. They're a picture of life. It's like he stood in the middle. He's standing on life. Jesus is life. And one man beat the Philistines. One man stood ground, and the Philistines were defeated. All right, let's keep going here. The fourth key, verse 12, Jehoshaphat admitted he didn't know what to do, but he humbled himself, and he said, our eyes are upon you, and we should not be afraid to admit at times that we don't know what to do, because God knows our weakness, and he knows how to address our needs. And he's saying today, I want you to ask me for wisdom. Wisdom is greater than rubies, all the money in the world. There's nothing greater than wisdom. The Lord's saying, all you have to do is ask. And if you doubt, you're not going to get it. Amen. Because a double-minded man, that means you created another mind to, it's like you have two souls. You're going to work out of a different mindset, and it's not going to end well. And the Lord's saying today, I want you to overpower the circumstances in your life. You will speak them down. Amen. And it works, because I know these things, or I couldn't even teach this today. In verse 17, this is the fifth key. God told them, you shall not need to fight. So after facing God, the answer came through a Levite named Jahaziel. Jahaziel in the roots is where you get the name Ezekiel and Ezekiel and Hezekiah. The root of that is Kasak. And it means that you're able to see and perceive. Amen. And Ezekiel in the roots also means, and you get healing. So we're going to see, like, if you go to a doctor and the x-rays, you have something wrong, but you don't know, it's going to take something to see within. Then you can face it and go from there. So this took time. This was a process. And after facing the Lord, the answer came through a Levite. The answer didn't even come through the king. Amen? The answer is coming through somebody else. And if you're the leader and God's given somebody else in the congregation the word of the Lord, don't think, just blessed be the name of the Lord, that they're getting the word. It's not a competition. The anointing is not ours. God's looking for a people that are filled with seed, and you know strategy, and like the sons of Issachar, which means man of reward. And God told Abraham, I am your shield, your mogen, and your exceeding great reward. In Hebrew, that means I am your salary and your maintenance plan. And God's saying today, I'm going to, if you, I feel the anointing.
He said, you walk with me, I'm going to take care of you. I will be your salary. God knows how to bring you everything you need when you are aligned. Amen. So look at them. They're after facing God. What happens? God said, you don't need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. And in Habakkuk 2:1, the prophet, this is another word God gave me when this war began. Habakkuk 1, because Habakkuk was complaining to the Lord, and he's saying, you know, why do my eyes have to see all this violence? Violence is the word Hamas. Like, why do I have to see Hamas in my face? But God actually said, I've allowed the enemy to do what they're doing to correct you. And I thought, that's not an easy word to say, because people don't like that. But we get corrected by the enemy. And God's saying, I want unity. I want a people, I want leaders that are dead to self. It's not you're the man or the woman of the hour. This is about the kingdom. Jesus never, he only did what the Father said, and he only said what God told him to say, and he only went where God told him to go. Amen. And the Lord's saying today, listen, is this about us or the kingdom? Sometimes it's hard if you are a very anointed and you're in a room with people and you have the answers, then you've got to be quiet. Because God, your flesh is cooking. It's falling off. It's like you're shaking. It's like, you know, I know this walk. We've been in the kingdom a long time. All right, so here we go. Because in Habakkuk 2:1, I just want to say it, the prophet had to go stand. And he said, I like the Amplified, he said, I will in my thinking stand on my post of observation. And he said, the Lord answered him. So the Lord will use somebody in your life to bring an answer, a solution to a problem. And I'm going to start to wrap this up for time, but we're going to go to the sixth key. And I want you to go to 2 Chronicles 20:20. And there are so many things hidden in the roots here, but I ask God, help me edit. So I don't want to talk your head off. Do you feel overloaded? Okay. So 2 Chronicles 20:20, you know, it said they rose early in the morning. Here's Jehoshaphat. Here are the Levites. Here are those that are coming forth to praise the Lord with a loud voice. They rose early in the morning and they went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And this is so powerful because Tekoa, I've got it on the board. Tekoa, they're all in unity and they're walking forward in this place called Tekoa. And I have it on the board. In the roots, it's Taka. And you've got your last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The Tov actually represents the cross. Here's the armor of God, number 100. And then the Ayin is the 16th letter. So as they're going forth, Taka means to make a sound. And the body of Christ, I want to say this, as they're walking forth in unity, when they're in unity walking forward, as they've been given the instruction, it is causing a sound in the spirit realm. And the sound of the Lord is going to overpower this word multitude. The noise, the rage, the sound of the enemy. Amen? So this sixth key, as they begin to sing and they begin to praise, this is the word. They were thankful. And this is a key. And when they begin to sing and to praise, what happens? They're going out. The singers are going out. They're praising God for His mercy. And verse 22, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. So this Tekoa, if you look at the Hebrew letters, it's as good as saying they were able to go forward because they could perceive the cross. And it creates a sound. When we perceive, when we can see the mark, the tov, which is actually a picture of the cross, crossed sticks. And the Lord is saying right now, I want my body in unity. I want the American church in unity so that Israel can follow and that the word of the Lord can be spoken. You know that people are probably meeting behind closed doors trying to come up with ideas that are in the natural thinking. And can you imagine an ambassador, a prophet, that would be released to go into Israel and say, this is what we need to do. And I actually had a vision at my desk. And I said, Lord, was that the past? I saw Israel on a battlefield, and they had their arms lifted up in praise to God. And when their arms got lifted up, do you know Hamas was flattened? I had a vision. And I said, Lord, wow, I didn't make it up. It was a war-torn vision. And those that knew the Lord, that loved the Messiah, raised their hands. They all had their hands up, not in surrender, in praise. And Hamas fell out. And I said, Lord, let it be. Amen. Let it be. So let me tell you this last thing, because it is very powerful. They were thankful. And listen, God moves on behalf of grateful people. Murmuring, complaining, ungratefulness, grumbling shuts heaven against us. Amen. And it causes us to be vulnerable to a curse. And in the Torah of God, Deuteronomy 28:47-48, it says that because you serve not the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve your enemies, which the Lord shall send against you, in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in the lack of all things. You can say, well, that's Old Testament, that's Torah. All of this happened at 9/11. When was 9/11? When did the towers fall? What year? 2001. And the Torah readings that week, because they would read the Torah readings Saturdays, Monday, and Thursday, all of the Jews in America that followed the Torah readings, they were all praying Deuteronomy 28 that says that if you do not serve me and you don't obey the commands, then I will send a fierce enemy against you, a nation that has, in other words, they're violent people. And it spoke about the eagle. All right, what was American Airlines logo? An eagle. And all of that happened at 9/11. So, Father, I want to thank you right now that we are going to be a people who praise our way into success. And when things look opposite, I want you to start praising. In the natural, if it looks in one way, say, I'm going to praise you, God. I'm going to bless you. And what I want to do, I'm going to finish now because I just want you all to receive the anointing I felt the anointing here. And I hope that I don't want you overloaded. I gave you keys. These keys work. They are real. And I in my heart, I just want all of you all blessed. Father, I'm asking you to bless the people here today to say, there is a treasure chest that is for me that's going to cause me to walk in the Garden of Eden. And you could say today, well, we came down here to hear the word about Israel and the church. That is the word for Israel and the church. I got that word from God. It came down upon me like a bride coming the city of God coming out of heaven. And I said, this is your word. Carl and Leanne, can you come up? I'm finished, Jerry. Do you feel like you received? Okay, you do want me to? Okay. I want Carl and Leah to come up. Does anybody have oil?
Yes.
And I had a vision of you and when I saw you both walk in, I said, oh my goodness, Lord, you gave me that vision for them. Because Carl and Leanne, I could feel your spirit drinking this word today. Your spirit drank the word. Amen. And God said, I'm going to anoint you for even the simplicity. This is simple. And it's going to change your life. And so, Father God, I thank you for the well of Nashville. You are worshipers and praisers, and God is saying your sound is going to overpower the multitude, the sound, the rage, the disorder, because you're going to stay in that. You all have that. You're so blessed. You've got that sound. I've never met a couple that has such an anointing together in music. They complement each other, but it a new sound is coming on you. Amen. And you're going to write different songs that are going to be so powerful. They literally, God says that as you praise me, you will bind demonic kings. As we praise God in here today, demonic kings are being bound. And so, Father, I thank you for a fresh anointing today for Carl and Leanne. Everybody raise your hands towards them. Let your voice go forth in this region as a people of sound. And sound is part of the Hebraic. Amen. Thank you for the godly harmonics. Because God, you framed the world. It's being framed by words. And so this day, God's saying, Carl and Leanne, because you're one, I'm filling you up from the feet up to the top of your head and overflowing with healthy seed that is able even to cause people in a year of famine to reap 100-fold.
Come on.
And like Isaac, I see this anointing on you. He got bigger and bigger and mightier, and they said, get out of here. They were jealous. But he went to unplug the wells of his father, and he had to keep going and going. They had different names. One was Sitnah, and that's the word Satan. And he just went forward. And then he found the well that was called, Reboeth, where it means now there is room made for us. So God said, the room has been made for you, not just in Nashville, but globally. So receive the word of the Lord. That's what I have for you. And I know you, may they receive the impartation of this word today. Amen.
Amen.
Jerry,
Amen.
Do you want to take over? And
well,
are we wrecked? Is everybody
okay?
We
are pretty much wrecked. You see the logo up here. Please listen to me just one second. This is a message that we have to hear over and over.
Yes.
And we have to send it out. You know, it has to expand. The seed, when it's planted, it has to...
It's got to mature.
It has to mature, but it has to go out. Now, that logo up there, I want you to look at it. It says Nashville WCA, Worship City Alliance. And why I tell you this is that on Facebook, I've had to switch it to make it WCA Nashville. That's the old page. Don't go there. If you're on that one, erase it. It looks exactly the same, but you've got to go there to the new one, which says WCA Nashville. And it's that one you'll get to hear this message again. Also on the website, which you get, a lot of you get the email. This word has got to expand beyond this little room. It's too powerful to release just to us. Karen, I was sitting here thinking, in the old way of thinking, I'm not worthy.
I think we all do.
To receive this kind of a word and to sit under your teaching like this. And the Lord comforted me and he said, oh, but you are. I have made you worthy. This was for you today. And we are worthy to receive this word as sons.
Yeah, he has his invited guest here.
Yeah, he's invited us to sit here of all the places we could have been right now. So I want you to play that teaching again and again off of the Facebook page, which that is the old page. Don't go there anymore. The new one will have WCA Nashville, so you'll know.
I want to ask a question.
Please do.
I want to, in the beginning when I started, I had that on the board, and I said, you know, somebody once said that's Greek to me, but I told you by the time I leave, you're going to understand that. So do you feel like you understand this?
Amen.
With a simple chart. And that's God's word. And Apostle Glenda Sutton, God's saying right now, you have just begun. The end shall be better, greater than the former. And the anointing of Caleb is upon you. Caleb was from the tribe of Judah. And he was so, he was I think he was more energized, older than the beginning. But, but at the end of his life, he said to Joshua, "Give me my mountain." And he got it. And the Lord saying, as I don't, I've seen a picture of your property before, but God's saying, walk that land and lift up your hands and praise him and meditate in the field. And you say to me, give me my mountain. And God's going to give you everything that had even been promised to you in your earlier age. Because Caleb said, I got this word, you know, when he was in his 40s, he said, give me my mountain. And he got it. So there's a fresh anointing coming upon you right now. And will you receive yourself becoming a house of seeds? That every word out of your mouth is a seed of God.
Amen.
The life is in the seed. I know there's a lot of leaders in here and we don't want to leave anybody out. But I bless you, and I guess I better sit down.
Well, you're going to stand here and we're going to bless you. What I'd like to ask is the pastors in the house, in particular, Carly Ann, and those who are part of the ministry, leading the ministries, come and you might have a word to bless her and enlarge her tent. Her tent's pretty large, but it's going to be enlarged. If you feel like you're part of this and you want to give her, just stand with her for a moment. If you're like leading a ministry, you feel like God's calling you up here, feel free to come. But Father, I believe this house is to honor those who come in the name of the Lord. And we want to honor and receive the word and bless this vessel that has surrendered at cost. It's just surrendered to give us this word today. And so we want to speak to her encouragement that would enlarge her house. We're going to financially bless her house. I know that's coming, but I also believe you're going to bless the airwaves that are going to carry this message around, that this message is for this hour. This message is for now. And I just know, God, that as we honor her and honor her house and honor this message from your heart, it's going to bear much fruit. Pastor Glenda.
There are three numbers. And the Lord, okay, get up. I never do this, but look at the three numbers on here. And the Lord said, these are your numbers. He said, triple grace. Triple grace.
Come on. This girl.
You are a sweet sound, Karen. You are a sweet sound, my sister. And the Mulu Sura, oh, Yabeko, Mandre, I is Surabeko. You are me, I'll Suru Cabe. Hallowed, you have opened many eyes, and I'm me, I'm a Surabeko. Why, you are no more sick day. You are a sweet sound. In the body of Christ, you're a sweet sound on the earth. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you from the north, the Arabosata. From the south, the Robokarasata. The east, O Garabokarasata. And the west, O Garabaso. We release the sound from this woman of God, from this house. Father, this city right now hears. Leaders in this city are beginning to understand things they did not understand. And they don't even know why they're not there understanding. So, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The word that you ministered from 2 Chronicles, the Lord has had me ministering that. That is the sound. And we agree with you in this house. We agree with you. We agree with Israel. We agree right now,
Lord,
that God is raising up the sound. And that the worshipers, the praisers, and those who will respect and honor holiness, Yeshua.
Yes, Lord.
Will begin to worship and sing. Hallelujah. What came from your mouth, the Lord released it into Israel this day.
Amen.
In Jesus.
Karen, during worship, I heard Psalm 141 for you today, which talks about the traps of the enemy and also not eating the delicacies of the enemy. So my prayer is that those traps that the enemy has set forth before you will be sprung, and that you will lead the separated life that the Lord has called you to. And then I saw you wrapped up like a mummy, that I think someone in authority has tried to put grave clothes on you, literally to wrap you up. And what I saw was the top of it was coming loose. So you're going to see like you haven't seen before. You're going to speak like you haven't spoken before, because we declare you free. We declare you free from every curse of death anyone has ever spoken over you, anyone who has tried to muffle you, to keep you from seeing and hearing and speaking. And we break that off of you. We unwrap you today. And I just saw it coming off your head, but it's going to come off all of you. Amen. That your walk is going to be free. Your hands are going to be free. Everything about you, you're going to walk into a new freedom you have not had before. And I also felt like the Lord said today he was giving you new shoes. So that's something new to walk in too. And then also, I see new doors opening. Lord, we thank you for the gifts that Karen carries. We thank you for the hours and hours that she has studied and sat behind closed doors and sought you and studied and sought you with all her heart and all that she carries, Lord. So, Lord, we ask that you would put her in a place for those who need the richness of what she carries, to hear it and to feel it, to see it, discern it, and understand it. So we say today, new doors to open up for your gifting in Jesus' name.
I'm new at this. I'm here to encourage you. I just seated a church in Madison. This year has been the hardest year I think I've ever had. And I've had some bad ones. Your words gave so many confirmations of things God told me over this year. I went back to the old and I walked away from everything and everybody I knew so that I could clear my mind and focus on what he was telling me and where he was leading me. This is the best teaching I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Ever. I've been a pastor for 5 years now. I've been to amazing places. This showed me so much that was missing in my relationship with God, as well as my ministry. I've seen you here so many times. I never knew until today the anointing you carry. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I don't get to make it all the time, but God said, be there today. This was a divine appointment, sister. Thank you.
Yeah, this is the beginning for you. Yeah.
Karen, as you spoke today, I did also see increase. And you spoke of the sea of God being infinite. And you've just tapped into a trickle of what God has for you. But the increase in the anointing that is coming on you, it is already on you, but you're going to step into a new place of even delivery and understanding. As the words fall out of your mouth, it's going to be something new you didn't even know was there. It's going to be so instant. The revelation is going to even begin to blow your circuits. But the other thing I saw is, this word is going to be so potent that I saw angels, armies of angels flanking you from every side, going
And they were here to assist the delivery and the purity and the holiness that you're going to be releasing. It will be riveting and changing people's hearts and minds, just like it did here in this house. But it will be increased. And I want to bless you, bless you, bless you for who you are, for who you are, to carry this word. Amen.
The whole house is blessed. And we honor the men that support you. Your son, the co-pastor, and your husband, who's the wisest man in the house. Because he listens.
Okay, if I say something.
Yes, please.
My precious friend, you have been so faithful. Today is your day of release. You thought it was ours. It's yours. Rise up, warrior, and speak the word. I love you with all my heart.
Oh, that's good.
Karen, I honor you for who you are. But as Jerry was talking, as he was talking about the expansion, I heard a clinking, and it was just a clinking over and over again. And it was a stake being driven in the ground, and you had a hammer in your hand, and you were clinking this stake. And then I saw a picture of multiple hands joining your hand. Multicultural hands joining your hands to clank this stake into the ground. And the picture I saw was a tent. And then as I pressed in, I heard this song, this old song about John Henry. And it's a secular song, but he was driving the stakes of the railroad into the ground. And I saw a picture of a train going, and the word says the train of his robe filled the temple. The train of his robe filled the temple, and the glory followed. And I saw this train speeding up and going to that tent of meeting, going, pressing into that glory, pressing into the temple. And what he is using you for is to help build that track, to ride that train into the temple that brings glory and unity, so you can, your words, your teaching that unifies the body, and it speeds up and it accelerates, and we hear the train whistle blowing and blowing and blowing, and the sound going out and the sound being released to heaven in Jesus' name. And he's going to use you in this season to accelerate the body. Your voice is going to be heard, is going to be spread, and to unify and build the temple for his glory and his kingdom, and the increase is coming in Jesus' name.
Praise God. Mom, I just had the Lord was revealing to me just as we were all praying for you and decreeing over you. And I had a vision in your timeline and the cycles of your life. And I could see many years of pioneering and digging wells that were at the cost of your expense, even being a woman in ministry. And I could see you digging those wells, and they had been stopped up so many times in the vision, but I saw God bring you to a new well that was unbelievably deep. And God said, you've now been brought to the place where you'll never thirst again.
Oh, I don't know if it could get better. You know, Jesus, you're so much better than we knew you were. So much better. Karen, thank you so much. Giver and the Lord. And thank you so much as well. So, I'm telling you, it's getting better all the time, isn't it? So I'll look forward to seeing you again in a month, December. I don't know that the meeting could even come close to this one. I think this is the best one of the year so far. I'm not saying that lightly. It was so deep, and so do listen and send that message on to others as well. And we'll be back here the first Wednesday of December, the Lord willing. And he has a wonderful plan in between now and then. So walk it out every second of every day. God bless y'all. Thanks for coming.